Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He surely is. Happy Easter and welcome to Highlands United Methodist Church. It's going to be a beautiful morning. It already has been. It's my second time doing it today, so I'm really in a groove on this. You'll benefit from that. The other downside, though, is that the kids already did the Easter egg hunt. We've hopped them up on sugar and then asked them to sit through worship. So I think it'll all balance out. It'll be a good time. My name is Brad Lorvik, and I'm one of the ministers on staff here at Highlands United Methodist Church, and it's a joy to get to celebrate this day with you and to be a part of Easter. You'll notice in your bulletin there's a little About Us sheet. Rather than listing, like, announcements on the back of the bulletin of a couple events coming up, we decided we'd rather just sort of tell you who we are, what our values are, the things that we believe in making real in how we live. And so hopefully that tells you a little bit about who we are. There are a few things coming up I'm really excited about. Our green team that does environmental work has just been doing amazing things. In fact, because of their work, we are now Denver's first certified green church. We're the only one. And on the 19th, so in 2 weeks, I'm very excited about that. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a ribbon cutting. The ribbon will actually be made out of used newspaper because the whole green thing, we felt it ironic to go buy some new fabric for that. But that'll be a good time. The other thing to keep your ear open for is we're going to be doing a push with the neighborhood of giving from your garden. And it's our hope to hand out a couple hundred seedlings to folks to plant. And then any food that that plant produces, you bring back and we take to the food pantry so that there'll be fresh fruits and, well, mostly vegetables in this case, fresh vegetables to be able to share. And that'll be fantastic. So they've done some really neat things. I do want to let you know that if you're looking for a spiritual home, a place to call your church, we'd love to talk with you about that. There are cards in your pews. Actually, we ask anybody who's willing to let us know who you are and how you are. If you'd like to know more about us, check the box that says add me to the email. Our emails are not pushy. Our emails are just informative. Once a week, here's what's going on and the ways you can be a part. They'll tell you about things like peanut butter and jelly ministry. On the 25th, we make 100 sack lunches, take them to the park to feed those in need. Or they'll talk about and remind you that every single day, Monday through Friday, you can bring canned goods and cereal in our Osceola door, put it on in the red shopping cart, and we'll get it to the food pantry that very week. So anytime you're shopping, you're like, I'll pick up a few extra things. No, we're always here to facilitate your generosity to help other people. We want to keep you in the loop on those kind of things. Why don't we take a moment now and greet one another? Find someone you haven't met before, find folks you haven't seen in a while, and let's greet one another. Hello, balcony people. It's good to see you. As you make your way back towards your seats, I'd love to help make you feel a little more comfortable here. If you're not with us regularly or it's your first time here, I did want to make sure you know this is a child-friendly church. We do not mind the noises children make. In fact, we celebrate them. I say that because my kid is usually the one making them. But if your child is comfortable, and we want your kid here with us in worship. If your kid does want some more space to move and play, we do have a couple parent-child rooms. If you just go up the stairs, there's toys, there's books, and you can still hear what's going on. So no, that's an option. We do have a nursery. It's downstairs. You just go down into that end of the building. We have a wonderful nursery staff. They are fun. They are loving. They are background-checked. They're people we feel comfortable letting. Seriously, it's important, right? It's a very big deal that we have people who are loving and safe for your children to be with. So know that that's an option as well. If you need the restrooms, you can find them through that door or halfway down the stairs. The other thing I wanted to let you know about is it's an Easter tradition for us to close service with the Hallelujah Chorus. And there's a lot of folks who are like, oh, I used to sing that. I remember doing that one. We want you to come up and join us at the end. There'll be an invitation. You can grab the music. It's right by the doors. You come on up. But I thought we'd tell you now so you can be like, okay, I'll totally do that. We want you to have time to think about it and come join us. Krista directs us very clearly, so you can just follow along and have a good time with us. So please consider doing that. There's a lot more going on in this community and the ways we serve, but that's what the website and the email and Facebook are for. So rather than boring you with more of that, I'd love to invite the acolytes to bring the light in this morning, reminding us of God's presence with us as we celebrate this day.
Please rise as you are able and join in our call to worship found in your bulletin. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. The Lord has risen.
He is risen indeed.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Christ has risen indeed.
For this is the day of new beginnings.
God is making all things new.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Our opening hymn is Christ the Lord Has Risen Today. The words for all of our songs today are found in your bulletin. If you would like to use the hymnal, you'll find this song in the red hymnal number 302.
Be seated. I'd love to invite all the children to come down for children's time with Mr. Brandon. We sing a little song as the kids come down. It's in your bulletin. It's called We Glorify You.
In the family of God. It's good to see each and every one of you. How are you this morning? Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Don't worry, everyone. The Easter Flamingo is here.
What?
It's me, Frank. I'm here to be the Easter Flamingo.
Well, I know it's you, Frank, but that's not the part that confused me. It's the Easter Flamingo part that confused me.
Oh, you think it's supposed to be a bunny, huh? Well, common mistake. Think about it for a minute. What is the most common colors you see at Easter?
Well, it would be pink, I guess.
And where do you find that bright, flashy color?
On eggs.
I mean, let's be honest. Bunnies don't know eggs like birds do. And no bird knows pink like I do.
So I guess that makes you the Easter Flamingo.
It sure does. Now, all I need to know is what Easter is.
Now, that's probably a very important question if you are going to be the Easter Flamingo.
So,
would you like me to tell you that?
Yeah, I think that's what we're all here for.
Well, Easter means a lot of things. Easter is the day, thank you, that we celebrate the life of Jesus.
I thought we did that at Christmas, you know, on his birthday.
Well, today we celebrate that. Even when people thought Jesus' life was over, it wasn't.
Oh, well, when you put it that way, wait, what does that mean?
Well, the Easter story tells us that God's love is more powerful than anything, even death. The Bible story tells us today that God brought Jesus back to life, and that life does not end when our bodies do. I know, it's super exciting.
So Easter is about life after we die.
Yes, so it's about that and so, so much more. It's about life every day. Now, what do you think were the most important things that Jesus did?
Well, Jesus taught us about doing the right thing and helping people and loving everyone. I mean, those are pretty important.
That's a great list, Frank. And today we celebrate that those things bring us life today, tomorrow, and forever.
Mr. Brandon, I need to go do some of my Easter Flamingo work. Could we say a prayer before I go?
Let's pray together. Would you guys repeat after me? Dear God.
Dear God.
Today more than ever.
Today more than ever.
We are thankful.
We are thankful.
We are thankful for life.
For life.
Filled with love.
Filled with love.
Joy.
Joy.
And friendship.
And friendship.
And may I always remember.
And may I always remember.
That you love
that
me.
You love me.
Amen.
Amen.
And right before we do the children's motto, just so you guys know that we do not have children's time today. So after the children, thank you. We don't have Sunday school today. So after this, we're going to listen to the hand chimes, and then we're going to go back with our families, okay? So Aaron, would you start me in the children's motto?
In all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do, we glorify.
And if you are playing in the hand chimes, please walk on up, and then we can stay right here and listen to it.
So we've got some of our kids that are going to play chimes for us today. They've been working on it for a few weeks, and we'll get to share in that. I do want to make sure you know that once a month, every second Sunday, we do a children's service at 9:15 in the morning, just with the puppets and the stories.
You can hang here and listen.
And so we always want to make sure you're invited to join us in that.
We can go sit back with our families now, okay? Go find your mom and dads.
There we go, Paul. Sorry, he's back there like, why isn't his mic working? It was totally my fault. On a typical Sunday, we take a few minutes for joys and concerns to listen for one another's needs and prayers. This morning, I'll ask if you'd put them on the little cards that are in the pew. When they make it to the offering plate, I'll add them to the prayer chain and keep them in my prayers as well. I do want to invite you, it's in your bulletin, or if you want it, the little black hymnal. We'll sing one verse of Oh, How He Loves You and Me. And then after that, we'll take a minute in silence. Now, if you haven't done this with us before, I didn't say moment. I mean like minute, like an honest to goodness 60 seconds. Sometimes there is so little silence in our lives, or for those of us that have a lot of it, it's not always intentional. And so we want to create some intentional silence together. And then I'll close us in prayer. God, we ask that you would listen to the prayers we carry in our hearts. God of new life, we have arrived at the tomb and we have found it empty. What just days ago was finished now has begun again. For life springs forth and leads us all into the world made new. We give thanks this day for the gift of what it is to receive love that is given to all people. And we extend our prayers for all those we know, as well as for those we may never meet, but to whom we are tied by our shared humanity. On this day of hope, we give thanks for the potential that each day brings. Help us, God. Help us live into the promise of each moment with the assurance of your love. Help us to bring your hope to the places it is needed most, to the corners of the world that have all but been forgotten, to street corners in our own town that are all but avoided. May we live in the boldness of this day, living, serving, loving boldly, knowing that we carry within us the life of your new creation. May we receive the blessing of this day as a call to bring new life to others. For on this day of new beginnings, God, we give thanks for your forgiving grace, grace that overlooks our shortcomings. For when we fall short of the life we hope to live, you meet us where we are and offer strength for us to try again. For with you, O God, all things are possible. We have seen this at the tomb, and we see it in our lives. We offer our praise this day for all that you have done through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We pray all these things in his name, and we offer the words that he gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We'll remain seated for our next hymn, but sing like you're standing. You'll find it in the bulletin or in the black hymnal on page 2115, Christ Has Risen. Compared to hymns like Christ the Lord Has Risen Today, that's a newer one. And I enjoy it because I think many a person has thought religion is strange while sitting in a church, but not everybody gets to sing it, and so that's always a nice moment. I had a really good laugh in yoga this last week. Well, first, I had a religious crisis, and then I had a good laugh. One of my favorite instructors was opening class with a little reflection on connection and unity, some great themes. And as a part of it, she was sharing a little anecdote about her family. And she made the comment to the room. She said, "Some of my family drives me crazy because they're really religious." Then she looked over and she said, "No offense, Brad." And my internal dialogue went something like this. Why would she say no offense? I mean, the only person who could get offended by something like this is a person who's really, "Oh, she thinks I'm really religious." And then I had to remember, I am an ordained pastor. I am a paid religious professional. My master's degree is in divinity. I mean, of course she thinks I'm really religious. Now, at this point, all I can do is chuckle. All I can do is chuckle under my breath because I'm a pastor who doesn't want to be thought of as religious. I mean, I guess I'm willing to be thought of as religious, but only if we can redefine the term. You see, often when people use the term religion, they're referring to something they're not a fan of. They're talking about the dogma, the exclusion, the institutional absurdity that is far too common within the religious traditions and Christian denominations of our world. Religion sometimes gets a bad rap because it's often used as a tool to exclude and marginalize people, most recently under the guise of religious freedom. Sometimes it's used to define who's in and who's out based on what answers people give to loaded questions that those asking them get to determine. Or religion's used as a, well, if you will blindly agree to this belief statement, then you get to be a part of our club. Those are some of the worst examples of religion I can think of. And we hear of it far too often. If that's religion, I want no part of it. Now, it's interesting to me, this dilemma of defining religion and what it means to be religious is how I started last week. This was 7 a.m. on the Monday morning of Holy Week, which is quite possibly the most religious week of the year. And here I was, not sure what to do with the idea of being religious. But religious how? Does it have to be in that way, or is there a different way? So I decided I needed to spend some time thinking about this, and I went to what Winnie the Pooh would call my thinking spot. When I need perspective, when I need to get away, or just when I want to be reminded of what is important, I have a habit of heading up to the tower room, going up a series of ladders, and spending time on the church's roof. The big tower on the corner has a beautiful spot where you can stand and look out and see things. It's an amazing view. You can see the entire Front Range from Pikes Peak to Long's Peak. You can see all of Metro Denver. And honestly, our roof possibly has the best view of the Denver skyline there is. But most importantly for me, when I'm up there, I can see our neighborhood. And when I'm up there, it's always a beautiful day. You see, the alphabet and numbered grids of streets that we call home here, that Main Street feel of 32nd Avenue, the sidewalks that are busy with people going here and there, walking their dogs, pushing their strollers, enjoying conversations. I feel at home in our neighborhood. It reminds me about what I do and why. And as I stood there, wondering about religion and Holy Week and Easter, I had to ask myself, as I looked out across the neighborhood, what does Easter have to do with any of this? Why would Easter matter to any of these people? Why does Easter matter to me? Hear the Easter story as it's told in the Gospel of Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples, 'Jesus has been raised from the dead, and indeed goes ahead of you to Galilee, for there you will see him.' This is my message for you." So the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. But suddenly on their way, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came in front of him and grabbed hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to the women, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there I will see them." This is the scripture I was reflecting on as I had to ask the question, what does Easter have to do with any of this? Looking out from that roof, I had to ask myself, earthquakes? Really? Angels? Empty tombs? People rising from the dead? What does this have to do with any of those people eating sweet cow as they walk home? What does it have to do with those two hipsters who are on their way to drink craft beer? What does it have to do for the person who's down there waiting for the bus? Here I was, a week before Easter, asking what on earth Easter has to do with that sea of 100-year-old rooftops and all the people who live beneath them. A week before the biggest moment in the religious year, and I was at a loss for why it matters to anybody, especially those who aren't religious. I mean, it's not an easy story to share. I mean, seriously, what's with the angels and the earthquakes? And the whole rising from the dead thing, these are not simple conversations. They're not easy to apply to life. Why couldn't the Easter story be more relatable? You know, like the ones from earlier in Jesus' life when he was living the first time. Throughout the last couple months, we here at Highlands United Methodist Church have been focusing on the people Jesus met and the effect that he had on their lives. How Jesus brought them not just new life, but a new way of seeing life. See, those stories, they make more sense to me. Those are the stories that I can see connecting to our lives. Like the story of the woman caught in adultery who found new life when her accusers couldn't cast the first stone. It's relatable because in that story, we find that proving someone else is more broken than you does not make you whole. Or the story of Zacchaeus, who found life when he was invited to a table after having been so excluded because of his own actions. He was welcome as he was, and that motivated him to change in ways he never believed possible. It's relatable because it's a story that reminds us the best way to define our lives is not by dividing or separating people, but through acceptance. Or there's that story of the rich man who was so focused on himself and his own possessions that he lost all meaning in his life. We can relate to it because it's a story that we discover by only by focusing on relationships will we find our part in something bigger and connect to something more in life, not through what we have. Or a couple weeks ago when we looked at the story of Lazarus, when Jesus sat there weeping at the death of his friend. It's relatable because it's a story that encourages us to acknowledge the pain and sorrow we experience in life, not to rush through it to try to find some happy place for the sake of other people, or not to push others to a place of, I don't know what to do with your grief, so hurry up. It reminds us that we can feel what we feel and be who we are, and God is there with us. You see, these are stories that certainly have something to do with our lives. I easily see these stories applying to the everyday lives of anyone I meet. Because they're stories about feeling pain and loss. They're stories about being judged. They're stories about how our possessions change the way we see the world. They're stories about being excluded, making changes to better ourselves. These are stories about life. Stories about life. And that's when I realized what I was doing wrong. Here I was trying to separate Easter from the life of Jesus. Separating Easter from the life of Jesus is really, really ironic. Because the entire point of Easter is that Jesus is alive. You see, the life that Jesus was living, that life of love and acceptance and justice and hope, that life was so significant and so important that God could not allow it to end. Jesus was and is the living embodiment of God's love. And through Easter, God is demonstrating that nothing can separate us from that love. Through Easter, God is inviting us to join in that action of embodying the love, acceptance, justice, and hope we see in the life of Jesus. Easter invites us to become a part of that life. See, Jesus lived a life of relationship. Jesus built community. He sought to help people live authentic lives with integrity. And he constantly invited people to be a part of and share what they had with something bigger than themselves. Easter invites us to do the same, to live those values and that way of loving life, to bring those things, the love, acceptance, justice, and hope, to bring them to life and to bring them to our lives. And this is where Jesus and Easter begin to reshape my understanding of religion. Because as I mentioned, I don't like the way religion is used and often understood in our world. I don't like when religion is about dogma and excluding people in this institutional absurdity, getting caught up on itself. That is not the way we have to let the world define religion. I mean, who would want to be a part of that anyway? Where's the life in that? But what I do want to be a part of, what I see in the life of Jesus made real once again on Easter, that's something I want to be a part of. A movement that's focused on connection and community. A movement that offers accountability for living what we say we believe. Something that offers us an ability to contribute what we have and what we do and who we are to something bigger than ourselves. That's the kind of religion I'm willing to be associated with. If that's what religion could truly be and be known as in this world, I would take offense at not being called religious. Because religion, that religion, is about life. Life that is the embodiment of God's love. Love that we can never be separated from in life or death. You see, that's why the people of Highlands United Methodist Church gather together. We gather together on Sundays in worship. We gather together on Saturdays feeding the homeless in the park, or in Tuesdays for bar trivia, or we sit over ice cream and have conversation. We gather together because of life, to be surrounded by people who are as just as imperfect as we are, but who are also trying just as hard to not simply make it through life, but to make sense of life. We gather together to serve others in ways that bring respect and opportunity through relationship. We gather together to look for examples in each other, from the youngest to the oldest among us, examples of what the best moments in life can be, so that we can celebrate them and seek to create them in our own lives. We gather together to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, because we aren't enough on our own. And when we gather together, we seek to embody God's love for all people, no exceptions. And by doing these things, we're seeking to continue that life that Jesus lived, carrying on the love that Easter brought to life and to our lives. Happy Easter. Amen.
Our offertory prayer is found in your bulletin. Let us join together in prayer. In response to the love you have given us, God, we offer here what we have, what we do, and even more, who we are, that our generosity might transform the world. Amen. Our sending prayer is found in your bulletin. Let us join our hearts and voices together in prayer. We rejoice in the new life of Easter.
For God's promise of life is fulfilled once again. May we experience the blessing of this day as we are reminded that nothing can separate us from God's love. Let us leave this place amazed, ready to not only share the good news, but ready to live the life we have been given. For just on that first Easter morning, Christ is alive and goes before us. Hallelujah. Amen.
And our closing hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns, found in your bulletin or number 327 in your red hymnal. And if you would like to join the choir in singing the Hallelujah chorus, please come forward during the hymn. The music is by each door beside the front.
Welcome to be seated. You don't have to stand for the whole chorus. That's not actually, you don't have to do that. I do want to remind you that this is a place that loves to be connected and to serve, and we invite you to know more about us. I want to remind you that on any given day, you can look around this neighborhood. It may not be from the roof of a tall building, but as you look around, you will see lives that are the embodiment of God's love. And it's something each of us carry, and each of us are called to bring to life for the sake of all people. May you be blessed and be a blessing as you seek to do so. Amen.
Oh, the Lord God, who gave us
Happy Easter, everybody!